Good morning. Good morning, man. I am excited about what God has this morning. Man, it's so awesome to see God move like He does, that He's faithful. He is always there to meet every need that you ever have, you know, to fulfill every desire that you need to be able to get through this life, to get through the world that we're facing today. And this past week, I didn't know what I was going to preach. It was kind of one of those deals that I was like, okay, it's getting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm starting to go, okay, God, I need something here. You know, I need something from you first and foremost. I'm not against you showing up and just saying, hey, I'm gonna do something, but give me a heads up so I'm not going, okay, am I missing it? You know, because I don't want to miss God, and I don't want to miss what He has for us. But Thursday, God gave me something. And Thursday night, I began to work on it, and it just took off. And I'm excited about this, what God has for us today. And, you know, and it kind of concerns one of my favorite things. Do you guys know what that is? Food. And eating, but where do you eat at? A table. Woo. Man. And this is not something I've ever really heard in this aspect before. And that's why I'm excited about the word today. The table is a very important place that is overlooked when it comes to the aspects of your life. You say, how is that? How can that be overlooked? We all go to the table, right? But sometimes we don't think or see it as being other than what it is, just going to eat, right? Sharing tables is one of the most uniquely human things we do. No other creature consumes its food at a table. Despite what you see on the internet, now they can make it look like animals go to the table too, but humans are the only one that consume their food at the table. And sharing tables with other people reminds us that there's more to food than fuel. We don't eat only for sustenance. Throughout the scripture, Jesus is known to meet with all kinds of people at the table. And so today I'm going to talk about come to the table. Come to the table. In Matthew 9 and verse 10, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now this was something that Jesus did quite frequently, but it's something that was looked down upon by the religious people. They didn't like that. Now, they liked it that Jesus was doing it, but they wouldn't be seen doing what Jesus did. You know, the table is a place where you are fed, where you can be satisfied, where you talk to people and build relationship and get to know someone, where you discuss your problems and your concerns, a place where you set things in order. Now, the religious people didn't like it because they saw it as an indication of you are who you hang out with, who you associate with. But that's not the way Jesus saw it. That's not what God has for us. You know, a big company, or even a small company, they always have most always... have a conference table, right? And what do they do at this table? They don't just eat. But this is some other things that we're going to be talking about that are done at tables. You know, they discuss matters to meet and establish relationship with new clients, to solve problems, to create new ideas through brainstorming and dreaming of what could be The table is such an important place. Most people at work, they have what? A desk. What is a desk? It's just a table with drawers, right? That's all it is. So the table is a place where you get things done. In Exodus 40, verse 4, in the first part of that scripture, it says, "You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it." It's so important that we set things in order in our lives. That's why we come to the table and we set things in order. Because when we have to set things in order, and if we don't, then we allow problems in our lives that shouldn't have happened because we don't have things in order. So to set things in order in our lives, to come in line in order with what the Word of God says. Now, there's so many things that I'm going to be covering of what the table concerns in our lives. And one of the first things I want to talk about is he has the table to oftentimes resolve conflict, to bring resolution or restoration to people. You know, in Psalms 23, I'm a firm believer that so many times we look at a scripture and we see it one way. You know, so many times I've seen this scripture, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, you have a mindset so many times that, oh, you know, God's gonna have good things for me in spite of what my enemies try to do to me. But, you know, I believe the table is a place of resolution and restoration. Why would he set a table before you in the presence of your enemies? Just like in a courtroom. You know, if you go before a judge and you're having mediation, they come to a table and they try to bring resolution to your problem. And so many times in the courthouse, in the court setting, restoration happens. So to set a table in the presence of your enemies, God gives us an opportunity to bring resolution with our enemy, so that we might could win them over. He wants everyone to have the opportunity to come to the table, even your enemies. The table is a place of connection. Tables are one of the most important places of human connection. We shouldn't be surprised then to find that throughout the Bible, God and Jesus has a way of showing up at tables. In fact, it's worth noting that the center of spiritual lives of God's people in both the Old and New Testaments, we find a table. The table of Passover, the table of communion. God always has a way of showing up at the table. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright captured something in this sentiment when he wrote, "When Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal." Because he knew that the table was a place he could connect with his disciples. He didn't just say, "Hey guys, gather around, let me tell you about what's going to happen here." No. He invited them to a meal around a table so there could be a connection. In the fast-paced world, tech-driven, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff, in the society that we live in today, in the culture we find ourselves in, Christians need to return and recover the art of meeting at the table. Because so many times, you know, I know I'm holding an electronic device. We meet with people through our electronics. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's get back to understanding what meeting at the table, coming to the table, seeing people face to face, having that connection time. You know, when the workmen came, you know, I had the blessed opportunity to meet them. And you know what? I didn't get to just share one meal with them. I got to share two meals with them. Man, that was awesome. But you know what? What is it so many people do? They say, hey, let's go out to eat. Why do people do that? Because they want to connect and get to know somebody. Or it could be with somebody that they already know and it's going, hey, let's hook up and let's go out to eat. Let's gather around the table. Let's fellowship. That's what this life is about, is fellowshipping. Fellowship with God and fellowship with people. We so often miss that because we're driven to do what we got to do now, what we got to get done. That we miss those times. In Matthew 26:26, Matthew's account of the Last Supper, he writes, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. The same pattern of language of blessing, breaking, and giving all show up in the accounts of Jesus' miraculous feedings. There's something to that. The table as a place of blessing. The table is a place to remember the blessing of God. One ancient prayer of the church says, blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, for you give us food to sustain our lives and make our hearts glad. We need to recover the importance of gathering around our tables for the purpose of enjoying a meal as both a gift and a means of grace. Because at the table, we often extend grace to those around us. The table as a place of brokenness. So he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. So the table as a place of blessing and the table as a place of brokenness. On the banks of the Sea of Galilee, ever after the resurrection of Jesus, it is recorded in John 21 that after spending the night fishing, the disciples encounter Jesus, who calls out to them from the shore. And acting as always, as Peter does impulsively, dives into the water, clothed, fully clothed, in an effort to get to Jesus. And as he emerges from the sea, he's all wet and he moves towards Jesus, who made a fire on the beach. And at that moment, he smells that familiar smell. The word that John uses to describe fire. That the fire that Jesus made is in a word occurs only in one other place in the scripture. And earlier in that story, in John 18, there the word is used, fire, where Peter and others warmed themselves the night of Jesus' arrest and trial. The charcoal fire of John 18 was a place of Peter's denial. So you know that when he smelt that, that came back to him. Shame had a smell, and that was the burning charcoal. But the coal fire of John 21 is a place of Peter's restoration. The invitation of Jesus for his friends to come and eat with him. So that turned from a place of brokenness in Peter's life to a place of restoration. All because he invited him to come to the table. The table is a place where broken sinners find connection and belonging. Even with our best of intentions, we're often like Peter. We stumble after Jesus. We desperately need people who will journey with us in our shortcomings, in our stumbling, and how we fall. We need to recover table fellowship as a spiritual discipline in order to strengthen the bonds of spiritual friendship among those around us, those that believe with us, who are walking together with us on the road of discipleship. You know, Matthew 11:19, by his own admission, Jesus had a reputation among the religious establishment to be a glutton and a drunkard. He's not saying that he was, but he was admitting that they were saying he was a glutton and a drunkard. One of the most distinct things about him was that he ate and drank with notorious sinners. That's why they said he was that way. The Pharisees called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard. But for the Lord, the table of fellowship was a demonstration of the kingdom of God. He was showing the world how the kingdom of God came together, how it operated, that we come to the table, that you get with people that are known to be sinners and you connect with them. And in that connection, brokenness happens. Jesus exemplified the kingdom of God when he ate with tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners of the Jewish society. But this was more than just a gesture of friendship on earth. Jesus came to call sinners to him, make them right with God so that they could enjoy the fellowship with God themselves. Jesus' broken body is our only access to fellowship with God. Today, we have communion. Celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember of what he did for us. And as in the day of Moses' tabernacle, God still desires to have fellowship and sit down for a feast with his people. So the only way that we can be seated at the table is through Jesus and his broken body. Jesus is the host. He is the highest host. He's the hostess with the mostest, right? So he's calling us to the table, and he's the one that sets us at the table because of what he did for us. So besides coming to the table, what's another thing we do at the table? Think about that. What's another thing we do at the table? Another thing we do at the table is we serve. We serve at the table. Which brings to the table as a place of givenness. As Christians, we are people who are blessed, broken, and given. The aspect of being given should be our identity. And what reminds people that we are God's, because we are given to this world. called to represent Him, to serve not only Him, but His people. God's mission is to rescue and renew His good but broken creation. We are swept up into the mission and called to participate it by announcing and embodying the love of God in Christ. He gave us to the world so that we could serve others in and through the love of the Father. So that the whole scripture in Matthew, that He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it. That's so oftentimes what we need. We need God's blessing. We need to be broken, and we need to give ourselves to the calling of God to serve others. The table's not a place that we always just come just for us to enjoy, but it's for us to be able to serve others also. You know, a waiter or a waitress, you know, are they forbidden from going and eating at the table because, oh, I only serve, I can't go to the table? No. The table is a place that you serve and you come to have fellowship and connection with people. And truth be told, when you serve, you are establishing a connection with people also in that. The Lord wants everyone to come to His table. We all know the parable of the great feast. In Luke 14, verse 15 says, "Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, 'What is a blessing it will be, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guest to come because the banquet is ready. But they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I have just bought 5 cows, 5 oxen. I just got 5 horses that I got to tend to. You know, please excuse me from the banquet.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' And so people began to make excuses. All these people that were there, that were invited, that were his guests, began to say, 'I can't make it. I can't come.' And so what happens? The servant returned and told his master what they had said. And his master got upset and he got mad and he said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor. There is still room for more,' said the servant. So the master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full.'" He's calling all to the table that will come. He's calling you to the table. He's calling those around you to the table so that the house can be full. In the coming feast, when the Old Testament prophets wanted to speak of the day when God's reign would finally come into the fullness, they depicted a great feast. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a day when the Lord would prepare a feast for all people, a banquet, and in that day, when all that was wrong is made right and all that is broken is made whole, there's going to be one big meal. The Bible tells us of the day that we are all taken and we all gather and there's going to be a great feast. So why am I bringing out the whole fact that come to the table. Because throughout the scriptures, if you missing it, the table is an important place. It's such an important place that we can come connect with God, and we can come to connect with people. It goes both ways in this. The fact that we interact with God at the table doesn't eliminate us from interacting with people. So everything that I'm telling you applies for our relationship with Christ and with our relationship with people. Because without people, why are we here? We are here to bring people to the table so that this house can be full. Another thing I want to bring out this morning is the table of showbread. Now, the table of showbread is described in Exodus 37. Now, it was a small table made of acacia wood. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'll just say that. And overlaid with pure gold. And he gave the measurements of it being 3 feet by foot and a half, 2 foot, 3 inches high, to stand on the right side of the holy place across from the lampstand. Now there were 12 loaves of bread, and the 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The priest would bake the bread with fine flour, and it remained on the table before the Lord for a week. And on every Sabbath day, the priest would remove it and eat it in the holy place, then put fresh bread on the table. Now, only priests could eat the bread, and it could only be eaten in the holy place because it was holy. Now, showbread was also called the bread of presence because it was to always be in the Lord's presence. The table and the bread were a picture of God's willingness to fellowship and communion with man. It was like an invitation to share a meal, an extension of his friendship. God was willing for man to enter into his presence, to fellowship with him, and this invitation was always open. This is the connection that we have with him and with his people. Now, what I have this morning is simple. And it's quick, but it's very important that we understand the importance of coming to the table. God is calling us to the table. God is calling you to the table. You have an opportunity this morning to come to the table, so that you can find the connection, so that you can have the brokenness that you need, because we need to be broken. We need to be broken of ourselves. We need to be broken of our selfish desires, what drives us, our pride. We need to come to the table so that way we can give and we can serve God's people. He's calling you this morning. If you remember growing up, how many times your parents would say, "Come and get it!" You knew what that meant. You knew it was time to eat and go to the table. Come to the table this morning. God's calling you. Because this table is for everyone. It is for everybody. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for the people that we encounter also. But he's still calling you to the table. So this morning, I just want you to stand. And I want you to begin to meditate on the Lord. I want you to think about the times when you were younger, the times even now that you go to the table and you enjoy those times of connection and fellowship and the blessings that God has given you. The table is important. Don't miss the calling to come to the table. And so if you're here this morning, He's calling you to the table. You can come to the altar and answer His call. You can come now and say, God, I'm coming to the table so that I can connect with You in a new way, so I can reestablish a connection maybe that I've lost, so that You can break me, so that I can be broken before You, so that I can be given by You to this world, so that I can serve. I can serve God by serving the people. And so this morning, that's my invitation. If you need to come to the table, come to the altar this morning. God's calling you. He says, I have more for you. I have more for you. It doesn't start and end just with the eating, but it's the connection that I have with You. Lord, thank You for calling us to the table. Thank You for calling us and counting us worthy. Call us to the table, that You consider us friends, that You call me a friend. Your table is a big table. It's a big table. It has room for everybody. Lord, let us have the mindset and change our mindset to always come to the table. When there's something in our lives that is happening that brings concern to us, that worries us, Lord, that we come to the table. And Lord, we set things in order. And that we allow ourselves to be broken as You speak to us. Let us be sensitive with our spiritual ears to hear You calling when there's something that we need to be done in our lives. Something that we might need to change, or a direction that You're taking us. You will always call us to the table. We bless Your name this morning. And we say thank You, and we love You for all that You've done. We thank You for setting the table before us. The saints around.
come just as you are to his table.